Welcome to the Power Within podcast. I'm your host, Nat Adams. This podcast is all about interviewing everyday people about everyday challenges. If you have a challenge and you'd like to be on this podcast, please drop me an email, info@entireliving.com.au. Today we speak to Chris. Chris was on episode one, and you may recall if you've listened to that episode, Chris is facing having his leg amputated next year. We spoke to him in episode one about the challenges he faces and how he's mentally preparing for it. After that episode, we had people email us with questions they had for Chris and also with some beautiful comments, and we appreciated all of them. So today I just wanted to get back in touch with him, find out where he's at, and ask him those questions. Sit back, enjoy the podcast. Welcome back, Chris. Look, thanks for coming on again.
Hey, Nat. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me again. It's great.
Well, after our last discussion, I was pretty excited because we got a few emails sent through to us, and I thought, look, I'm going to get you back on so that you can answer some of the questions that the audience have sent through. First of all, I got a nice email from Dina, who's actually from the USA. I'm going to read it out. She said, hi, Nat, my name's Dina and I live in the US. I want to thank you for sharing your interview with Chris, a terrific interview, I might add, a great message to send out into the universe when we all find ourselves in the midst of the holiday season, and more profoundly, what our universal society has been through in the last few years. I'm no expert, but to you both, Nat and Chris, well done. Stay positive. From Dina. How gorgeous is that?
Wow. Yeah. Thanks. So, that's great feedback.
Yeah, well, to take the time to put in our email address and send us an email at info@entireliving.com.au was really nice. And then I got this one from Michael in New South Wales. Thank you for sharing your story, Chris. As a father, I can appreciate the emotion and concern your mum must be feeling about your upcoming surgery. It was good to hear you acknowledge how hard this must be for her. So, you know, how do you feel about what your mum's going through, and how did she take it? I mean, I'm hoping to interview your mum, but how did you think she took it?
How about that? Just as we start talking about her, mum actually just rang me on the phone.
Oh, so, wow. She's psychic.
So, like, as far as my opinion goes about my mum and what she's done for me, is I don't have any words for it, you know. It's like, how do you thank someone for doing what she's done, and how far she's gone out of her way to make everything her very best, to make sure I got the very best treatment I could my whole life, and starting at a very early age. And I mean very early, before I can even remember. And so, you know, like, I look back when you're a teenager and stuff like that, and how, then, you know, as you get a little older, you start to realise what life's all about, and you see people differently, and that includes people around you. And for me, mum always been around me the most, and so she's just so, I just couldn't imagine doing it without her, you know. Like, and the best bit about that is, she'll stick it out right till the very end, and then I'll be, hopefully my end is, and I can be more mobile, and it'd be an honour for me to look after her when she's getting older and be there for her. So,
That's gorgeous.
Thanks. No,
I know you get a bit choked up when you start talking about her, so I know that you do appreciate everything she does. You know? Yeah, she has.
Mum's been through a tremendous amount, and, and a lot of it's, without a doubt, my doing. You know, and she's still there, and you know, every time I see her, she rocks up with this huge big smile on her face, and you know, she just can't do enough for her. And so, we're a pretty good team, I think, and we've been there for each other. She had cancer, and you know, I was lucky enough to not be working and be able to be close with her to help her get through that. She's come back a lot stronger. She's the strongest she's ever been after that. And, you know, she's living in a facility where there's lots of people like her and her situation. And, you know, she's just found her feet and she's risen. And, you know, she helped people out her nature to do that. And she's so good at it. And so, like, that's her genes, and her family is all like that as well. Her sisters are all about just looking after people. And
well, she comes from a big family, doesn't she? From memory, there was quite a few of them. And I think that's actually obviously where some of your positivity comes from, because you're definitely someone that is always looking at the bright side, and your mum is someone that does the same.
Definitely mum's got a lot to do with that. And through all her struggles, and I know you've organised to do an interview with mum, and I can't wait to hear it. Yeah, and sure, you know, like, I mean, you'll be able to hear what sort of struggles she's, you know, and challenges she's faced, and what's important to her. But out of it all, she still has that smile on her face, the whole face. It's just, you know, I know I'm biased, isn't it, your mum? But
everyone feels or has that connection to their mum, so that's good.
It's a very unselfish smile, you know?
Yeah. How gorgeous. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you to Michael for that question. We also now, well, not for that question, it was more of a statement, I think, from Michael, but Simone, I'm not sure where Simone's from. She didn't say where she was from, but she sent through, how long is your rehab, Chris, for this procedure, and what does it involve?
So basically, once you go and have the procedure done, and I think as long as you're stable and you can sort of show ability to be able to move around without causing yourself any more harm, and you're just stable when they release you from hospital. So then I'll come home and work on, you know, on healing the amputated, well, not, I don't know what to call it, but
because you can't really call it an amputated leg because you don't have that.
Yeah, work on the wound. So basically the wound. Once that wound's able to take your weight of your body and handle being, you go up to Fiona Stanley and they have a clinic there, and you stay in the hospital with them in that clinic part in that area for 4 weeks, and you work with them, and I've seen the clinic, I've been up and I've met the guys, and it was very, very somber and experience just being in that room with the people that were in it. Geez, I'm pretty lucky, really. Some people are just, don't go into it, but yeah. So it was a bit of an eye-opener, but they just seem like they're very, very focused and very professional, and they've got some great equipment there. And then that's when they work with you over that four-week period to fit you out with the correct prosthetic. So I think you have a choice to start with. You have a choice of two. They have different attributes. And so there's a lot to it, you know, like, and it's also, you know, the difference of having the amputation at the correct spot as opposed to not having it can have a pretty serious effect as well. So, you know, if it goes too high, the energy you need to use to keep that really, really hard. And if it's too low, you lose space for componentry on the prosthetic. But so if there is an ideal spot, and I think even though that foot is going to I've got thrown in the bin. They're going to throw it in the bin, even though that's there's still a need to be healthy. There's still a need to be trying to stretch that area and give yourself the best chance so that you can optimize and get in the right position. So you give yourself the best chance.
That actually leads on to the next question. But before I get to that question, I want to just add something to Simone's question. So she just asked about the rehab procedure. So at this point, you will return to Perth. It's like a process of, first of all, recovering from the actual operation and the wound healing, and then looking at the prosthetics that you have and what will suit your body and blah, blah, blah. But what about, I've heard, and look, I'm a novice when it comes to this because I know nothing about amputations. I'm learning from you. What about, I've heard of this thing of like a ghost limb and
a good question.
Yeah, can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, so they call it a phantom.
Right.
So basically what that means is, as far as I can tell, is that Obviously the pain you get from having something broken or not working in your body, that's our body's way of telling us something's wrong, or, you know. And so chronic pain sufferers would understand that, you know, that those signals that run through your nervous system start to build a pattern, start to leave a footprint almost, you might want to say. But, you know, that's the way I sort of perceive it. But what it means is, once the amputation, once the procedure's been done and you're left with your stump, there's some people still, a lot of people still complain about, you know, still getting pain, itchy. People get itchy feelings and on a part of their body that doesn't even exist, you know, get your head around that. But it just, you know, I really believe this is where I have a lot of faith in the universe and how if you listen to it, it'll help you out. And, you know, like I turned on a TV station that I barely ever watch, and bang, there was a show on about amputations.
Oh, wow.
And then there was 10 people there, and they all told their story. You know, some people have been amputees from very, very early, and some horrific stories, you know, of what they went through. Like, one guy got mauled by dogs, and, you know, and that's one way of, you know, it was pretty, I know, sorry to sort of rip that out, but anyway, so a range of different people, all different types of people with all different types of amputations. But the one guy that sort of stood out and the one guy that didn't complain about having any phantom issues was the guy that, and his way of doing it was when he, at night time before he go to bed, he had a little procedure where he'd rub bio oil on it to help the scarring and whatnot. And he'd talk to himself. He'd tell himself, he said, "It's gone now. It's not coming back."
Wow. You know?
And he said that over a period of time. And he kept saying, and he doesn't have any of those symptoms.
That's amazing. I wonder if that's something to do with the neurons in the brain just changing the thought pattern, so you don't think it's there anymore. Yeah. You start to realise it's not.
Scientifically, I agree with you. That probably is. I'm no scientist. But,
oh, well, I'm not either, but I'm just...
You know, there's a bit more to it than that. It's just, you know, that's belief. That's belief and how powerful it is.
Yeah. So, well, it's good that you got to see that show too, because I was going to ask you, have you met anyone and spoken to them about their experience?
Really?
Have not you really, met anyone? No.
I haven't met any... Well, I sort of had, like, we, you know, when I went to the clinic for an interview, there was a guy that was in the elevator, and he was on a wheelchair, and, you know, I said, "Hey, how's it going?" He said, "Yeah, good, good." You know, like, he was pretty positive, but I didn't, it was, you know, in and out. It's the thing, really, when you got to drive up and down from Perth, Bunbury to Perth, but they do have a program there where, peer based program where you can like team up with someone who's volunteered, who's already been through it, and they can you can team up with them, and they can, you can talk to them if you want. It's available. Think that probably I'm not trying to be cocky or arrogant at all, but I really feel like I'm ready for it in a lot of ways. But having said that, something always come up that, you know, that you'd never think about, and that's probably insight would be helpful to speak to someone. But, you know, like I think you get a lot of information from doctors, and, you know, if you show a bit of keenness and you want to, then you want to be positive about it. A lot of them have commented about, you know, that they're so relieved that your mindset's in your mind in the right spot, and, and it's encouraging how well you've accepted it. You know, that's just a decision you make in your own head. And, you know,
with so many things in life, really, isn't it?
You can do something about it, you know what I mean?
Such a really strong comment in so many different areas of life, to make a decision in your own mind and to go with that decision. That can be life-changing. Like, you have a choice of left or right, and that which way you choose is the way that you're going to head. And,
you're right. You know, sometimes you say you make a decision, it's like, I'll go to that party on Saturday night. It's like, you sort of never really decide, but, you know, when your brain actually makes a real decision, you make It's almost like automatic, you know what I mean? It's almost involuntary. Something comes from somewhere that gives you that, you know, whatever intestinal fortitude
that
or
inner voice,
fortitude.
Or that led by the universe,
but
told by God,
that comes
whatever you
from
want to call
somewhere.
it.
I don't, you know, but then that after that happens, you know, the act of or the discipline of following that up and using it and not letting it slip through your fingers and using that motivation and that inspiration and turn it into something tangible, like an exercise or anything, just a better way of doing something that's going to make your life more easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that starts to become like your muscles in your body as your trainer, as it starts to develop.
Yeah,
and
that's
build.
Right. And the more you do it, the stronger
works.
You become.
Yeah.
So that
Just
actually does connect in with this question from Joanne in Perth. And Joanne emailed us and said, what are you doing to prepare for the surgery, both mentally and physically? So what start with mentally. Well, first of all, you just told me you've just made a decision and you've decided
that's
that this is
doing.
The better choice. Yeah. Do you meditate?
I do. I try to find time in the day to turn everything off and just sit and listen and breathe.
Good.
With a nice straight back and, you know. Yeah, I do, and just slow down, because that's probably been one of my biggest faults is that, you know, I could try and do everything in 2 minutes when it doesn't really, you don't really need to do that, and slowing down. So that helps me do that. But
and
yeah,
I think in the first interview you mentioned to me your music. That's kind of a form of meditation, isn't it? You use your music.
Yeah. It is, and it's just like it's very relaxing as well. But the one thing is, the other thing that I do to use mentally prepare myself is just, obviously things are a little bit harder to do when, say, for example, someone who's had a hip replacement will know what I'm talking about, picking stuff off the ground and stuff like that. You know, it seems such an easy thing to do, but when you can't do it, it's really, you know, it's hard. You know, I have these little, like, give myself little challenges every day. Well, not so much every day, but I used to. And, you know, it's like you have a stick with even just a little hook on it and just sit there and practice picking things up off the ground with it. And,
that's
you know,
preparation.
Not giving up. And not the important thing is to not give up. That's what you're practicing, not giving up.
Yeah, right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which then you can use in other areas too. Yeah,
yeah,
so that's mentally. How about physically? What are you doing physically? How do you prepare? Because you're
enough,
in pain, it's hard to do. It's hard to do much, isn't it? So,
it is.
Do they recommend anything? Any of the surgeons recommend?
You know, it is kind of up to me whatever I feel like I can do. My only concern is not just my foot. You know, I'm obviously suffer from pretty bad osteoarthritis in quite a few of my joints, and I need to be aware of, like, so riding I mean, I actually love riding a bike. I absolutely love riding push bikes, mountain bikes. I've had a lower lumbar spinal fusion, which means that, you know, that tightened up that area incredibly, and I've said it before, I grew a couple of centimeters, but it also straightens the rest of your body out. And after that, I used to hear these clicks inside at the top of my neck, when my head would go from one side to another, and, you know, now it's sort of like turned, not a click anymore. And those were the noises that I was hearing in my ankle when the bones started to wear out. So, you know what I mean? Like, I've got to really think about what exercise I do.
You do, yeah.
So
maybe water.
In the water. Yeah, but, I mean, I'm really strong. Like, I've done a lot of leg exercises, and probably the strongest, my legs are the strongest they've ever been. But
awesome.
You know, like I can do squats. It's funny because I can do squats, and I could probably lift something quite heavy doing a squat, and but then I get up and try to walk, and I look almost fall over.
Oh, yeah,
you
know? Wow, because you don't have the balance with crookedness of your ankle. But I know you're also been. We've done a bit of work with my health coaching, helping you out with a bit of food. You've certainly gone into fasting. I've introduced you to fasting, and then next minute you were going full bolt into it. I thought, slow down a bit,
ridiculous. Well, you were doing it with me, and And it really worked. It really did work. It's a great
Yeah,
tool. And I
definitely.
think if I didn't use it, I have put on weight without a doubt, but I think that's diet. And that was something else I was going to ask you about. You know, we can get together and I want you to do up a program for me with your help using your health
Sure.
coach.
I'd love
And
to.
yeah, so I've probably got, you know, a few months, like probably maximum, I'd say, at a guess, maybe 6 months.
Okay.
So within the next 6 months, I'm looking at having the procedure. And you know, obviously the best thing I can do to prepare for it is to lose weight,
Yep, you
hands
can
down. So
definitely
that's my
looking. I'd love
challenge
to
now.
catch up. Yep, all right, let's do
That's my
that.
physical challenge at the moment. Yep,
Yeah,
great.
no worries. No, that's
All right,
I'll
cool.
come and clean out your pantry. Watch out.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was hoping, yeah, that'd be do that whole thing, and we're gonna be, and I'll jump on the program, you know, almost like a ceremony sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right. So 6 months, where did that 6 months come from? You must have spoken to someone recently.
The way it works is there's three categories of need for surgery, and the first one is obviously people who need it straight away, and then the second one is that it's not so important, and the third one is the least prior of the priority. So I'm in group three
Oh,
as far
wow.
as categories go. So,
I'd hate
but
to see
and
one
then
and two.
also, sorry, yeah, well, I have been in category two when I had my first hip replacement. Like I couldn't even sleep in my own bed waiting for that. That was probably about 2 months of sleeping on a recliner. That pain, and that's probably the worst pain I can remember, because that's, you know, like you get aches and pain, and the two kind of combine a bit, they mesh. But when you get a real pain, it's like
Consistent.
you can't do it, and you just scream, you know what I mean? Like that was the sort of pain I was
Okay.
dealing with that,
So category three. So did you have to drive up to Perth to have another appointment to find out that you were in category three and that it looked like it was going to happen within 6 months?
So we have the Fremantle. It's in Fremantle, the
Yeah.
hospital,
All right. Yep.
Fremantle Hospital. And so I went up for a couple of, the first one, I had some X-rays done up there, and I met one of the surgeon there, and you know, we spoke about possibilities, and they were going to discuss the case with some of their colleagues, and in a procedure, they have a meeting. They all get together, and so I had to wait for that to happen. Then I had another interview, appointment after that, and that's when they confirmed that they're going to go ahead with the most responsible decision they could come up with was to amputate. And it was no surprise for me, but but getting the news, I think we spoke about it last time, was quite, well, relieving. But so, and it was at that stage I said, oh, you know, they said, oh, we'll get you back in again. And I said, Do you guys know I'm driving up from Bunbury? And they're like, oh, no, they didn't know.
Oh,
So
wow.
yeah, I think if you're from Bunbury and you're going up, driving up to Perth a lot, maybe just mention it to them, you
Just
know, and
check
say
that they
you
know.
need to do that. So, and the great thing about it is, like, I am talking to you now
Yep,
on my
via
computer at
Zoom.
home. I was able to do that pre-admission interview over the same facility, over the same device. So
That's good, isn't it? No need to
yeah,
drive up
no, I didn't have to
and
leave my home. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
It's
and try
awesome.
and do
So
that big walk from the car park in to see the doctor.
find
And
parking, you know.
yeah, that's
Yeah,
great. So,
that's
was it
quite hard.
hard to set it up? I mean, of course, I've done it now to interview you, and I don't find
Oh,
it hard,
yes.
but I imagine some people would find this quite difficult, using technology, and it'd be a little bit nerve-wracking for them.
When it's not really that hard. And
Yeah.
I know I was talking to you about that before, between you and me, and if anyone, you know, within obviously the around Bunbury
Yeah, we
area,
can't fly to US, can we?
look, I'd be happy to come out. I would be happy to come out and help someone to do that, you know,
Yeah, that's great.
to try and make it easier for them if that's what they need. So
Yeah, between the
that's
two of us,
yeah.
within that local
Yeah,
southwest area,
you can do that.
we can help, we can definitely. If
Yeah.
you need a hand, drop us a line. And like I said before, the
Yeah.
email is info at entire ENTIRE living.com.au. So if you do need a hand from Chris and I and you want to know how to set up a Zoom or how to log into the computer to talk to your doctors,
telehealth, definitely,
know, drop us a line. We're happy to try and help out because we know not everyone's as computer literate. And so, Chris, that's all the questions that we had, which actually amazed me in a week that we had that many questions. And I'm so appreciative of them. And thank you for your time because it's great to have you back on. And I'm talking to your mum next week, so that's exciting. Yeah. And I'll find out more in-depth information about you, I'm sure. And
Maybe I might find out some stuff as well.
You might too. Exactly, and we'll definitely need to touch base again because I want to follow this, as I said before, follow your footsteps almost. We'll follow your how you go with this whole operation and process. And now that I'm going to catch back up with you and do the health coaching, we've got even more to talk about. Maybe we'll start talking a bit about food and fasting as well. So, that's exciting.
Now I feel like I can be... You know, I feel that the drive is coming back and the motivation to do that is coming back a lot more. It's getting closer. And it's all it takes is a little something from somewhere you need. Just a little bit of a push. It helps you get back up.
Refocus,
into right
doesn't position, it? Yeah, just to eat those.
Awesome, Daria. Thank you so much for having me on. Yeah, and that definitely goes out to anyone that does need a hand on it. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm a computer guru or anything like that, but I sort of know how to do these with video calling, and if that's going to help someone live to suffer less.
Perfect. And one thing I actually spoke to you about, Chris, is we're doing this podcast because we do really want to help people, and we want to help people that are in similar situations to you, but we also want to help others to be able to speak out about any challenges that they had. And it hopefully helps them to give them a sense of worth and realize that they can help others too. So you're happy to interview people. I'm happy to interview people. Yeah. If there's anyone out there that has been through a bit of a challenge or a struggle, we want to speak to people, just everyday people.
Yeah.
And so, we want them to email us, don't we?
Well, it's all about the community and bring them out. Instead of being such a silent majority, let's build
community.
Tell people how we feel, and let's make a noise, a little bit of a noise. And I think that's a great thing that you're doing that, and I really appreciate you giving me the chance to tell my story as well. So,
that's good. Thanks for being part of it. Thanks again for listening in to Power Within Podcast. Please feel free to drop me an email at info@entireliving.com.au if you would like to be on this podcast, or if you have a question for Chris or myself. If you're interested in my health coaching, you can jump onto my website, which is entireliving.com.au. Thank you.